This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf and Joe Fair.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. I am Matt Wolf and I am here with my co-host, Mr. Joe Fear. Today we've got a exciting webinar with Casey Zeman. Casey Zeman is the founder of Easy Webinar, the webinar platform that we use to host our live and automated webinars. And on this call today, we're going to talk to him about the rookie things that people need to think about when doing webinars. So many people get hung up with, I need to follow a template, or I need to follow some formula, or I need to do it just like the big guys do, or what if I don't have a list yet, but I want to do webinars, or I don't know what to talk about, or I don't know what technology to use. All these kinds of issues that people come up with to not do webinars. We're going to talk about all those things, help you overcome those objections, and ideally, after listening to this call, you're going to feel comfortable and confident to go and get your first webinar online. It's going to be great. Let's go ahead and dive right in with Mr. Casey Zeman.
Hey, Casey, thanks so much for joining us. How are you doing today?
I'm doing awesome. We were talking about planes, trains, and chickens, so I'm good, man.
Raisins were in the mix.
And tacos.
They were. They were also in the mix.
You forgot tacos.
Tacos. Dang it.
Tacos. Dang it. I forgot about the tacos. I'm so hungry now.
So yeah, our conversation before we hit record was very wide-ranging.
Obviously. Yes.
Anyway, today what we're talking about with Casey is webinars. Ooh, we wanted to dive into, you know, some of the common reasons people don't do webinars, because Joe and I, we constantly talk about the power of webinars. We use webinars in our business. We know Casey uses webinars in his business. I think he even has a tool that helps you do webinars.
That's
we'll learn more about that at some point.
Good assumption.
So many people just don't do them. They have so many reasons why they don't do webinars. So we're going to dive into that today and help people overcome those objections, talk about some case studies about webinars, and have some fun stuff. But before we do that, let's get to know Casey a little bit. Do you want to give us a quick overview of sort of how you got into business, why you decided to get into the webinar space? Just give us the whole rundown of how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, sure. For me, you know, so I've been online for a while. I remember I was in real estate, you know, and back in like 2008 and 2009 when the market crashed. Like, I went from a job that was paying me, you know, decent money, six figures, to making $15,000 the next year. And I remember at that time, I was like looking around trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life. You know, I had a house and it was like we were about to go into foreclosure on the house. And so I started looking at online marketing at that time to try to figure out how to get leads into my real estate business. And so while I was doing all of this, I stumbled upon YouTube, and that was kind of a change in my direction. I was like, why don't I just put my time into YouTube and start learning about it more? And then because real estate really wasn't satisfying me. It was like every time I got on the call to do a cold call with someone, it just felt awful. And so it was kind of a blessing in disguise, the recession. But what it did is it allowed me to kind of move and pivot into this other world. So I was like, okay, well, YouTube is what I was going to do to build leads. But then I started learning so much about YouTube that I was like, you know what? I'm just going to become a YouTube consultant. And so I decided to pivot into being a YouTube consultant. And that's what I did for a long time, doing stuff with clients from Estee Lauder to Dell, HarperCollins. And then my goal was to always sell a course online. And so after being a consultant, learning about YouTube and getting results for clients, I was like, I'm finally going to do it, biting the bullet, going to create a course. So I created a course called YouTube Revealed, and which incidentally, I think Matt promoted a long time ago.
I totally forgot about that course because I think I purchased it. I don't know what the heck, but I remember the name.
Yeah.
You did one of our videos for it, actually.
Maybe it was that.
Back in the day.
Yeah. Joe, you were one of the teachers in the course.
Yeah. You guys, we've known each other for a while.
I know that.
Yeah. I think it's funny because you and I did a webinar for YouTube Revealed. And I think after the webinar was over, you said, oh, by the way, I don't think I told you this, but that was the first webinar I ever did.
Yes. Yes. And that was my first experience. Like, that was one of my first experiences with webinars. But for a long time, I was trying to sell that course and I couldn't do it. I couldn't figure out how to sell it. I was trying to, like, you know, just post on Facebook, or, you know, just I could not figure out how to ramp up my list and get my courses sold until I started using webinars. Mm. And I was terrible at running webinars when I started. I remember Matt, I mean, this is what's funny is like the story that I always tell people is how I did a webinar with a partner. You were the partner, and it was in the back. It was the back farmhouse at my wife's parents' farm, right? So it was this back. It was this back trailer. It was in the dead of winter. Heater was blaring in the background, and I only had, you know, I had my crappy sort of laptop computer, and I was using the built-in microphone from that laptop computer.
With the air blowing.
Yeah, with a heater blowing, and it sounded like a hairdryer. And it was just like that first experience was like, it was incredible because as bad as it was, we still sold like $2,000 worth of product on it.
Success.
I may even still have that recording on one of my old hard drives. Should I link it up in the show notes, Casey?
He doesn't want that to see the light of air.
Don't show me that. I don't want to know. I'm sure because like in that I was oversharing. I was like, I would forget what I was saying. You know, the internet, because I was literally in this like, in a town of 400 people, the internet was terrible. So I was gutting in and out, and you were like, hello, are you still there? Yeah. I'm still here, man. So anyway, let's talk about YouTube. And it was just, that was like a really interesting moment, because as much as I probably could have turned that webinar around into $20,000, I didn't, but what I did learn from it was that webinars, even done poorly, you're going to still be successful. Mm-hmm. And it's because of the of essentially two things. It's if you can show authenticity and value, that's all that really matters. That's all that people care about. And you know, so if you overshare, yeah, you may not do as well as you hope to do, but you still can succeed. So anybody who's brand new doing a webinar, the very act of doing the webinar will get you closer to success. Like, and yeah, you might not do a huge number, but you know, after I started figuring this stuff out, I was doing I would have a webinar with 30 people, and I'd sell 3 units of a $1,000 product. Right, that's three grand from 30 people, and if I did that weekly. Now, you know, now I'm at 12, $12,000. I had to count that on my hand. So I mean, that's that, you know, that I realized there's a business model here, you know, and I don't have to be a friggin' genius to get it done. You know, all I have to do is show how my product is a solution to a problem and be as authentic as possible. But this does lead us, you know, into what we are going to talk about. But anyway, after that, I realized webinars were the thing that worked. And for me, you know, I love building a course, but I also had this idea that I was like, I want to have something maybe a bit more tangible than just a course. So I started to consider, I was like, I asked a couple of people, hey, what's big right now? What is something that you are hearing about that's on the cusp that no one else is doing? And a couple of people started telling me about automated webinars, right? They're like, we're hearing about it. There's like one tool out there. It's really not really effective for doing automated webinars. You should, you know, and so I was like, all right, maybe what I'll do is I'll create a WordPress plugin that does automated webinars.
Because WordPress plugins were hot at the time as well.
That's true.
They were, right. And Mr. WordPress, you, right? Like, exactly. So I was like, all right, there's no one doing that in that space. I'm going to do it. And so we built the first WordPress plugin that did webinars, automated webinars. And that was what we started with. That was that's Easy Webinar first, you know, first version back in like 2013, I think. And then from there we, you know, it's gone through so many different iterations. It did live webinars while still being a WordPress plugin. And then, you know, in 2014, and it was still a plugin at that time, actually. That's when it became a did live. In 2015, we started to change up how we were doing it. So we started to host it ourselves. So actually in 2016 is when we started hosting it ourselves. And then 2017, we built our own live engine. And so now it's a platform that does both live webinars using our own live engine, no delay, high definition streaming with live chat, offer delivery. We also have a YouTube Live engine as well. So you can actually put YouTube Live into our system and run larger multi-camera events, you know, 5,000, 10,000 people, whatever you want. But then we also still have automated webinars too. And I consider us at the top of the list when it comes to all the functionality that we have with automated webinars, because we've been doing it for a while. We know what really works with automated webinars, with creating funnels that are automated but still have engagement and still create, you know, create a desire for people to still come through, purchase your product and your system and program. So anyway, that was kind of the evolution of coming around to webinars and finally, you know, creating a software around webinars.
It's blowing my mind, honestly, like hearing the story, because we've known you for a very long time and I didn't know that was your first webinar with Matt. But it's kind of blowing my mind with, like, here's a real estate.
First sales webinar. I had done webinars training up until that point, but they were all free because I was like paranoid of selling. And that was fine because I was creating goodwill, and it was kind of preparing me for doing a live webinar. But I remember I was like, holy crap, we have 400 people attended for this webinar. And I'm like, I've never done one before.
Yeah.
You know, I was up all night working on the slides. And
So here's my question, actually, is knowing that you were going to be in this trailer in the mountains in the dead of winter with a heater and a crappy laptop in front of you and bad internet. Obviously, you didn't care for that to be perfect, the webinar itself. But you just did it anyway. Like, what was the motivation?
I was forced into it. Like, I didn't realize I didn't realize this, that I was actually going to be at their house at the time of this webinar. So I wanted to control everything. I was like, all right, I'm going to have two monitors going and, you know, stuff like that. But here's the thing. I didn't really have all that knowledge yet. I didn't know. I mean, I didn't know that, you know, now my setup is like, you know, I have two screens. I have my Logitech C920. I have my, you know, my Heil microphone. And
you have a baller setup. It's pretty impressive.
I have the Mevo camera ready to stream to Facebook Live if I'm doing that and doing a webinar at the same time. So I have those pieces here now. But at that time, you know, I didn't think about that. But if I look back and say to myself, you know what, people don't care about that.
No.
You know, they, you know, sometimes people care about audio. You know, if you had to say, like, what's the biggest thing they care about, it's the audio, right? And you know this, Joe, as a video person.
Right.
You know, like, it's the audio. But people, they were more interested in the information than the medium by which I gave it to them. So
that goes with talking. Like, I've noticed just for myself, and it's ironic, here I am talking on a podcast. I've never thought I was really that eloquent of a speaker, and I'll fumble a lot even on here, and I think it's just my brain going faster than I can talk. But the fact of the matter is that you're giving goodwill. It doesn't have to be said perfect. It doesn't even have to look perfect, as long as the microphone sounds pretty decent. But you connect with people. It's the way that you just sound authentic, as long as you're giving them value, and people realize it might not be said perfect. That's cool. Yeah. And it's worked for me. I know it's worked for you really well. So it's cool. Yeah. That's a good point.
That was a great experience to figure out. Like, cause I knew what I was talking about in the way of video and in YouTube. You know, I had done it before. I had clients that I was helping out. But you know, we go through these moments where we don't trust ourselves. We don't trust our expertise. And we think we have to have this, you know, an enormous font of knowledge. Like, I had only been doing YouTube stuff probably for 8 months up until that moment. Wow. Right. So maybe a little longer, maybe, because I didn't make any money with selling courses. I first had to be a consultant. That was the only way I was able to make money. So I was like, I had clients that were paying me $2,000 a month for, like, you know, four core clients. And then that's when I started to say to myself, I want to build out a course. So I spent the next 6 months building out a course. When if I knew then what I know now, you know, I'll pre-sell a course and then use webinars to run the course, fulfill the course, right? And then take the content and put it into a membership site after the fact, right? That's how I'll do a course nowadays. Smart. Instead of, you know, spending, you know, 6 months trying to create a YouTube course that, and you guys know YouTube changes, what, every 2 months or three months,
yeah.
Right? So I spent 6 months creating it. I had to go back and change half the videos anyway. So it's like, so anyway, I remember going through that and I was like, my goal is to sell a program. So I was able to do that in that first year, you know, after I had my experience with Matt. That first year, I built an email list of 14,000 people and made about $245,000 in sales.
Nice.
Well, and that was, you know, and it was all from webinars. And so I was like, all right, while I was making that cash, I was like, all right, I want to create something. So then I started putting that money into building out Easy Webinar, you know, and just going through that experience, the trials and errors, the pain, I mean, it's not easy creating a software product, especially if you've never done it. And that was my experience.
Yeah, no, that's like, I mean, it's a great story, and I think it's super inspiring for people to think, okay, I mean, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking, man, I am too scared to do a webinar. It has to be perfect. I have to get it dialed in. And I think you're sort of proof right there that, look, you don't have to have it dialed in. Just hit record, go for it, get live, and you can make magic happen. Now, I actually want to spend some time addressing some other common objections that pop up when people think of webinars. Go ahead.
I have some. Do you want me to? Do you have some?
Joe and I created a little list here, and I'm sure you've got some of your own. So maybe I'll hit some of these on the list here, and then if we haven't covered any of the ones that you've got, then we'll cover those too.
Cool. Let's do it.
All right. So the first one that we hear all the time is, how am I going to do a webinar if I don't have a mailing list? I don't, you know, how do I drive traffic to a webinar?
Yeah, I mean, I hear that all the time as well. And I think that, you know, the idea behind a webinar is that it's you getting in front of your audience, right? Pushing live and just doing something that brings people in to know you, where you are then providing some form of value, right? And it doesn't, well, a webinar doesn't, you know, there's so many, you know, sort of in the box concepts that a webinar has to be an hour long, or, you know, a webinar has to be, you know, all slides, or, you know, you have to use PowerPoint. Mm-hmm. There is no box here. So if I was starting from the beginning with no list, you know, there's our social media, everybody has a social media, some sort of, you know, presence on social media, right? Whether we just have friends that are on Facebook or not. Mm-hmm. So we have people that come into our system that, you know, I have new folks that are coming into my coaching program, and they're like, I have no, you know, I have no list. And they built a webinar. And actually, I have this woman named Jenny who just did this. She put on Facebook, hey, you know, I'm going to run a webinar. And she did this to make herself run a webinar, right? It was like, I told her, it was like an accountability thing. I was like, just put it out there and make it happen. So she put it on Facebook, and she got like 10, 15 people registered for the webinar. And then she I showed her some stuff she could do with Facebook ads. And then she started to, started to get a lot more people coming into our webinar. So I think she got, you know, by the end, I think she had like, you know, 30 to 50 people on her first webinar. I have to find out if she made sales, but the whole point of that was that there are ways for you to build and get people into a webinar without you having to have an email list. I mean, from joint venture partnerships, you know, my first time, I didn't have a list either. I made relationships with, you know, Matt, with like, I remember, I think it was like a couple other people that we then did webinars, and I was starting to build my email list from these relationships I was building. So I created a webinar that had a good product, and that's that really was the core part of it. Mm-hmm. Like, my webinar promoted a good product that helped people.
Yeah.
And if you have something like that, people want to, you will find other people that might want to promote you because of that.
Yeah.
Like it works. It's, you know, you have people that have gone through it, you know, or even if you don't have a ton of people that have gone through it, and maybe you have, you know, maybe worked one-on-one with someone and they found results, you know, and then you create a course kind of around that. Those are the steps to take. So, you know, you don't, always have to have a list to get a webinar going.
And one point I want to make too is that it's kind of a chicken or the egg kind of thing as well, because webinars are a great way to build a list if you don't have a list yet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for us, our webinar registration page is literally our highest converting opt-in form as well.
Yeah.
It brings in more leads into our list than anything else, because we drive Facebook ads to a webinar registration, and that's how we build our list.
Yeah, I think a lot of people think that webinars are just the sales tool. Well, the whole idea is that a webinar funnel, you know, if we think about that scary word funnel, it's, you know, you get people in through a registration page. They come to a thank you page, thanking them and saying, hey, just be sure to show up to the webinar. They come to the webinar, they get value, and they potentially can buy something from the webinar. And then there are follow-up emails that happen after that. Mm-hmm. So what you're doing is you've created, when you create something like this, a webinar quote unquote funnel, you now have a landing page where you can build your email list. You have a sales process where people can come in, potentially buy from you. And, you know, once you dial something like that in, now it's just a question of driving traffic to it, right? Mm-hmm. So whether that's Facebook ads or getting, you know, people that are joint venture partners, or, you know, writing blog articles, and then that's, you know, that's obviously at that point, it's all about list building, right? And how can you do that? But just like you guys, we pretty much only have webinar registration pages as the way that we build our email list.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And we even chatted with we had a call with the founder
John Shoemaker.
I was gonna say Teachable. Encore. He was the founder of Teachable, and he taught how to create courses rapidly. And one of his big traffic generation thing was, hey, hold live webinars.
Yeah,
like it's they work.
Yeah. I mean, it's really a fast track sales process, right? So a typical sort of sales process is you get them on a list, then maybe you send out some emails that introduce yourself and get people to know who you are, and then maybe you send out some emails that have content to blog posts so people learn from you, and then maybe eventually there's a link to some sort of offer and a pitch, and then after that maybe there's an upsell, right? Well, if you're doing webinars, you're putting all of that into a single process. You're building your list. You're introducing yourself and telling people why they should pay attention to you. You're putting good content in front of them, and you're pitching them something all in one single motion.
Right.
And here's the thing. You want to find a platform that can do all of that. So, you know, and I get this all the time. Like, people are like, oh man, I have to have so many different tools and pieces of the puzzle to do this. I need to have a landing page software. I need to have a live webinar platform, an automated webinar platform, and all these sort of different things that everybody needs. I mean, just to put this out there, but this is the whole reason we created Easy Webinar. So it was a one-stop shop for webinars. You create a full webinar funnel. All the pages are done for you. We even have a replay page that has scarcity, because one thing that we've realized in regards to selling is you need to have a level of scarcity. And so we do have that with our replay pages. They can be, you can expire them based on a date, or you can actually evergreen expire them. So let's say, you know, when someone comes into an evergreen webinar, they can expire, say, 3 days after the webinar is over. And so you just have email sequences that lead up to it saying, hey, this offer is expiring. So is the replay.
I did not know Easy Webinar did that. That's really cool.
They could do 9 different types of webinars.
Wow.
Yes. Do you have that? You have that email.
I know this.
A blog post.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I do want to circle. We'll circle back around just in a few minutes to like features and talk about some of the features and roadmap and stuff. But I do want to, I want to stay on track with some of the like objections people have to webinars, because we kind of talked about this before we hit record. Is Joe and I are big proponents of webinars. We do a ton of webinars in our business. We've had a lot of experts on our show that talk about webinars. We've made training about webinars, yet so many people tell us they haven't done any webinars yet, and we want to get their asses in gear with webinars.
Well, so I have an idea.
Yes.
Can I share this? Like, I have, this is, I came up with this kind of, why I think people don't do webinars.
Okay, let's hear this.
Okay, so to me, you know, they hear that you're doing a webinar, and they're hearing all sorts of people are doing webinars, and it sounds like all these people like just are experts at webinars, right? So like, and they're hearing all the time that so and so has a $100,000 webinar, or you know, so and so is doing, you know, a 7-figure webinar, right? And all of those things just creates a bigger divide between someone who's, you know, between someone thinking about doing it and actually doing it. Mm-hmm. Because they think, oh, well, I need to be able to do what those guys are doing, and I need to have a $100,000 webinar. And what happens is they don't do anything because they feel like because the divide is too big, right? There's, I feel like that's what's happening here, is that everybody who's hearing or listening to this thing that's going on, you know, the ears to the grindstone about, you know, what it takes to do a webinar, you know, we all feel like it's completely intimidating. I mean, it people think that they have to be like neuro-linguistic experts or be public speakers or
follow a script,
you know,
or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Like they have to, or they can't do, you know, or the tech is going to be is going to ruin them, and they're going to be, you know, do a bad webinar, and they're going to think that a bad webinar can tarnish your reputation forever. And the simple truth is that none of this is true. This is all bull. It's mm-hmm. all hogwash. I mean, first off, the people that say they have a $100,000 webinar, they have worked on that for a long time. And oftentimes it's not from doing just one webinar. Oftentimes it's doing many webinars or one live webinar, you know, encore webinars, follow-up sequences. So what they're not sharing with you, which unfortunately is not giving you all the information so that you can go out and say, oh, okay, so they only did this much from this live webinar, I think I can do that, mm-hmm. right? You're not getting the minutiae. You're not getting the actual detailed information of what that webinar, what happens with that webinar. And so my thought, the thing that I try to say to people is, throw everything you hear away. And the reason you want to do a webinar is because, you know, there are only two things you need. And I already talked about this. It's sincerity and value. And you don't need to, you know, be, as I said, you don't have to be a public speaking expert or, you know the super dialed in framework or know the, you know, here's what webinar slide should, slide one should look like, slide two, slide three, slide four. Mm-hmm. You know, some people aren't built like that, right? Like they're not built to like look at that structure and be like, I'm just going to match that entirely.
Right.
And oftentimes what happens is you may hear this is how you're supposed to do a webinar, but then you can't commit to doing that work. So you never do it in the first place. And then that coupled with the you know, what you feel you need to be perfect to do a webinar or to do this template that will make you get $100,000 in a, you know, to have a $100,000 webinar, and all of that is not realistic. Like mm-hmm. the only thing you need to worry about is getting on the webinar and sharing who you are, why you're there, and how you can help someone. And honestly, sometimes you don't even need slides. Like some yeah. of my best webinars are where I just simply got on and did Q&A the entire time. The entire time.
Sure,
and
they
performed better than anything. So what I think has happened is people have this, It's like they have paralysis because they think they have to do it a certain way. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And if I had my, you know, druthers and goal, I would say to break that, like knock that out, like completely shatter what you think you know about webinars or yeah. What you've been told about webinars. To me, it's all about just putting yourself in front of the camera and sharing who you are, why you're there, you know, what got you to the point where you're at this point where you're teaching this, right? And then share how you solve someone's problem. Mm-hmm. And if that's all you did, you got on, you talked about your audience, you talked to them personally, connected with them, shared value to them. That's all you need to do.
Yeah.
And to me, the reason people don't do webinars is because they think they have to do more than that. And, you know, I think that you just need to do it.
Yeah,
and, you know, I mean, I teach a framework, but then I tell all of my clients that, you know, once you understand this framework, a framework is meant to be stepped out of, right? So understand it, but then find your own self around that, right? Find your own authenticity. So, you know, put yourself in front of the cameras. Go from you in front of the camera to your slides. Go back to you in, you know, in front of the camera again. You know, there's no right or wrong way to do this.
So true. Yeah. I mean, people definitely just kind of overanalyze doing the webinars, and they think they need to be perfect, but you're so right. And I actually think if you do screw up a little bit, if your dog barks in the background, if you do have some tech glitches, I think it kind of endears people to you a little more. They're like, absolutely, shit, this dude is a real person. And I actually think it probably helps improve performance for webinars a little bit, which actually kind of leads me to my next sort of question slash point. I think I did my first webinar ever in about 2009. That was when I really started getting into the marketing stuff and started experimenting with a lot of different tactics. And the thing that held me off from doing my webinar for so long was I was nervous to be live. I was nervous that the funny thing is, at the time, I don't think I had much of a list. So there's probably only going to be like 15 people on a live webinar. But I was nervous to go live for these 15 people, because to me, that was public speaking. And so I'm curious, what sort of advice, what sort of things do you tell people that might be just scared to get on a webinar? They're uncomfortable with the public speaking aspect of it. You know, what do you say to those people?
Yeah, and I really appreciate that. So I wanted to write this book at one point called like The Stutterer's Guide to Public Speaking.
Ooh, I like that title.
because people, there is no such thing as a bad speaker, in my opinion. Like, we all have an audience, no matter what our energy is, you know, how we sort of speak, you know, what our level of authenticity is. And I think that the problem is, a lot of us think we have to step into being someone we're not, right? So we have to create this persona that is completely away from who we are. And then what we do is we force excitement. We force, you know, this fake enthusiasm when we get on a webinar, and it just doesn't work. And so what I try to tell people is, like, just find the best you possible, right? Just be the authentic you. If you have a stutter, great. If you, you know, say like every fifth word, no problem. You know, I think too many of us, we don't get in front of the camera and we don't talk to an audience because we feel like we're not worthy enough. And chances are a couple things. A, the audience that you're attracting is going to know less than you, right? The people that your audience knows less than you, that's the bottom line. If your audience knows more than you, chances are they're not your audience. Mm-hmm. So they're always going to know probably less than you. So it doesn't matter if you have a stutter, or, you know, you have maybe you have an accent. I've known so many people that freak out because they have like an Eastern European accent and they're trying to attract, you know, an American audience, and they're like freaking out. I'm like, are you kidding me? That's your unique quality.
Yeah.
Use that. Go with that. Like, I wish I had an accent, but then we all wish what we don't have, you know? It's like, that's the problem, is that we put these stigmas on ourselves, and it's all self-induced. So I think that the bottom line is, like, just try to tap into you, okay? Mm. The best version of yourself. You don't, like, I know that some people, do you know, like, Sasha Fierce?
Sasha Fierce.
Isn't that Beyonce?
Beyonce's alter ego, right? Yeah. So that's Beyonce's alter ego. When she steps on stage, she's Sasha Fierce, right? But technically, that's just the best version of Beyonce, you know? Yeah.
Right.
It's not like I'm trying to be Tony Robbins every time I get on a webinar. I'm just trying to be me. But the most authentic, enthusiastic, from a real point of, from a real place that I can possibly be, right?
Right.
Because people, you know, people can sense when you're authentic and when you truly desire to help people, right? Uh-huh. So just come in with that, because here's the thing is, you're probably doing a webinar because you feel like that, but you have all these preconceived notions of yourself, like, oh, I'm not good enough, and what if they laugh at me, and what if they don't think I'm, you know, they don't believe that I know what I'm talking about. I want you to start thinking about this. The person on the other end of that webinar, what you should be thinking is that they are unconditionally going to love you. I do this exercise sometimes, like, for going in front of the camera or, you know, doing a webinar, same thing. Like, I used to put my mom or my wife as the person that I'm doing a webinar to, or like getting in front of the camera, right? What that does is that actually throws me off, because my wife or my mom have preconceived notions of what I do, right? Mm-hmm. of who I am.
Yeah.
Right. And for the longest time when I was figuring out what I was doing with my business, you know, my mom would be like, I don't know what you do. So that exercise didn't work really well. Like I was like, I felt more judgment. So what I tended to start doing was I started to picture an unconditional, someone who loves me unconditionally, who's a customer, a fan, someone who really loves what I do. So no matter how much I screw up, they're still going to be down with like what I'm sharing.
Oh, that's great. Right?
That's great advice. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And when I started doing that, I started to take the pressure off of myself. Mm-hmm. And it does work. It really does work. And, you know, so you don't have to be an expert at speaking. You know, there's certain things you can just, and it's all about practicing. A lot of us don't like to hear our voice on camera or see what we say, we look like on camera. Just have to keep doing it. Listen to yourself over and over until it sounds okay that you are hearing yourself. Because when we hear ourselves, we hate it initially.
Right.
But after a while, we have to get used to hearing ourselves in front of on camera or hearing us in a video or seeing ourselves in a video. And when we do that, it becomes more comfortable. So that's what I would say about a webinar is the same concept of getting in and doing a video.
Yeah.
It's getting familiar and just practicing speaking, mm-hmm. And then not putting so much pressure on yourself.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of hilarious too, because I have this thing. I've spoken on stage a few times and done some various interviews on video. To this day, I still can't go back and watch them. Like, I just don't enjoy going back and watching them myself. So it's
funny. Personally listening to these podcasts myself.
Oh, I actually love listening back to our podcast.
It's really weird
because all of our guests are amazing.
Well,
but I do listen.
That
back
is
to
the
them.
Reason why I like to listen to them. But I was actually thinking, and I'll get back to you, Matt.
Okay, mine is related to what he was just talking about. Is yours?
Mine is too.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going back to your stutter book thing. You know, the book you never wrote that you should. Is that webinar, because we just did a live webinar today, a couple hundred people or so. Typically, if we're in front of a room, Matt and I, we've done this before.
Drink beer?
Might medicate a little bit with beer. Matt, to be honest, is a little quieter. Yeah, on stage, but well, we have our strengths, but we get a little like antsy. We have to pre-think a lot more about it. Where's the webinar? At least I'm speaking personally. No, I didn't really think too like twice about it. It was just like talking to one other person on the other
line.
Oh,
we did the webinar we did today. Joe showed up to my house about 5 minutes before we hit record, and we literally just jumped on and went, all right, what are we talking about? All right, let's do this.
It was fine. It was no problem. So what I was trying to say is that this is a great way for someone who's not comfortable with speaking maybe to a group of people. Webinars are the perfect solution for that.
Yeah, and I also wanted to add another point too. This is kind of more of a tactical standpoint, is if you are uncomfortable on webinars, maybe the first webinar you ever do, create an automated webinar, drive your traffic into that, see how it goes, and start to build up your comfort level by pre-recording your webinars.
And then looking at the comments and how people are loving your stuff and blah, 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 you know.
Yeah, I mean, if you have the capability to do automated webinars, why not pre-record your webinar the first time through, drive traffic to that? If things go well, it converts well, maybe the second time you get a little more ballsy and you do the intro and the Q&A live, but the actual presentation's pre-recorded. And then the third time you do it, maybe the third time you go all in and try it completely live and see how it goes. But, you know, using sort of a blend of live and automated webinars, you can ease your way in. And that's kind of from a tactical standpoint, some of the advice I've given people in the past as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I always get this question, like, should I start with a live? Should I start with an automated, you know? And everybody in the industry is going to say, start with the live so that you can have it tested and proven, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that's fine. I mean, I agree that you need to, you know, work on crafting the right webinar that's going to resonate with people. But I don't necessarily think that you need to start with a live webinar all the time. I think if you've done live webinars before, you can create a working automated webinar, and you're just, you know, after what you have to do is just see if it works, right? You run it and send traffic to it and see if people resonate with it. And the idea behind the automated webinars, you just said, is like you pre-record it, you create your perfect show. So, but you know, I would say that 9 times out of 10, you should probably have a live webinar under your belt for it first so that you feel comfortable with it, so you can actually track what kind of sales are coming or how it converts and how it hits in terms of how it resonates with people. And the good news is with our system, you know, you can go from live to automated very easily. So you can do a live webinar and then turn it around and make that what was once live into an automated webinar.
Right. And I believe you also have the ability to start off live, you know, welcome people onto the call and then sort of press play on a pre-recorded video. And then when the video is over, jump back on and sort of handle Q&A live again, right?
We do have that with our YouTube Live engine. Yeah. We have that capability where you can actually pull in a video and play the video and then go back into the stream.
That's cool. I mean, I've watched, you know, a mutual friend of ours, John Lee Dumas, he does a ton of webinars. And I know it, during portions of his webinar, he's actually got them pre-recorded because he's got tutorials on how to set up podcasts and things like that. And there's really no need to do it live. He's got the sort of presentation dialed in so well that why not just show the recording of him doing the setup? So he'll be live for a few minutes, show the recording of him doing the setup, then jump back on live. And I think doing things like that could sort of ease some of the pressure a little bit if some of maybe the more technical aspects of your webinar are pre-recorded a little bit.
Totally. You're exactly right. Like I've done that as well. And it's worked really well. You know, it's just nice being able to step away. Like, you know, and so I can do a live webinar where I then share a demo of EasyWebinar, right? So I like, okay, now we're going to switch gears and we're going to go in the back office of EasyWebinar, show you what it's all about, right? So I've just put the URL in for the video and then click, you know, transfer, and then it starts playing that video, and I know I have 15, 20 minutes to go do other things. You know,
for sure.
So it's nice.
Yeah,
cool. Let's shift gears slightly. Before we hit record, we were talking about some of your case studies of some people that kind of had no experience with webinars. Did a few things, tested the waters a little bit, and had some great results. So let's kind of share some of those case studies real quick. Then we'll talk about EasyWebinar real quick and sort of your roadmap of what's coming, and then we'll wrap up.
Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people ask, you know, about case studies and testimonials. Like, we have people like, you know, John Lee Dumas has been a customer of ours, and he has there's a quote where he's like, Casey is responsible for 7 figures in my business and increasing every day. So I have that, you know, and because we took him when he was like just doing live webinars, and we helped him with automated webinars. So so we have people that are, you know, that are. I guess you'd say higher influencers like Amy Porterfield and Kimra Luna and a few other people that have used our system very, very effectively to do a lot. But let's talk about, you know, people more like just like you, right? Or people that are the normal people. Even though we all have that capability of getting to those where those people are in terms of achievement, we can get there. But
right.
So like a good example is I had this one of our clients, Jason Caruso. He was a full-time dad, had a full-time job, and he started doing some work with a YouTuber, and quickly they started to, you know, sort of get more people to their YouTube channel, and he was trying to figure out a way that he could sell a blogging course, right? He had a blogging course, and so he did not have, and the problem was he did not have time to run it live. So this is actually a great story where he pre-recorded it, and at a time when he had to be at work, right? He had it scheduled. He scheduled it as a one-time automated webinar in his local time zone. So it played in real time, and it felt, and, you know, a lot of people thought, you know, that it was a one-time event. It wasn't evergreen, meaning it wasn't happening every day. It was a one-time event, but he pre-recorded it. And that event did, like, all said and done, $14,000 in sales. You know, and it allowed him to still have time with his family. He could still do his full-time job. And all he did at that point was he then created, you know, and made it evergreen so it could run more consistently all the time.
And do you know what he did as far as traffic to get people on it, and sort of what his process was to kick that thing off?
So his thing was he was getting people from YouTube, really.
Okay. So he was teaching YouTube, but that was also how he generated the traffic.
That's how he got the people. Yeah, he did not have a list. He had traffic from YouTube, but he didn't know how to tap into it until he used the webinar to siphon people from this YouTube YouTube channel, which was all about baking, had nothing to do with blogging.
Wow.
He was able to actually siphon these people because they liked what they were doing, because they had a bakery blog. And so he noticed that they were getting requests for, hey, I noticed you have a bakery blog. How do you create a blog? So he was like, maybe I can do this. So all he did was he put this out on YouTube and to the community that are already watching his videos. And he started getting people signed up for the webinar. And he started to build an email list. And that's how we built an email list. And that's how we created, how we actually started to generate revenue in his business off this side thing, which was all about blogging, not even about baking, right?
Wow.
So that was cool to hear. There was a recent customer that came through named Jody, and Jody was this woman. She's from Australia, and she had the problem where she was taught a certain structure of webinars, right? Like, slide one is this, slide two is this, slide three is this. And she was super frustrated. She was super frustrated because she tried all that and she just wasn't seeing the sales, wasn't seeing the conversions. So she became a coaching student, and I got on the phone with her and she told me about this problem. And I was like, all right, well, what does your heart say? What does your gut say? And she said, I don't know. I want to do it my way. And I was like, then do it your way. So what she decided to do was change it up. She did it solely in front of the camera, right? And she did on her first webinar $19,000 in sales. She created a fast action bonus and stuff like that, which I showed her how to do, and that helped her to make sales. But then that final webinar, all said and done, did about 30,000 from the replay, from the follow up, et cetera, et cetera. So what she did is she used Easy Webinar, but at the same time she used a strategy of just being herself. Sometimes just being super authentic helps.
That's huge.
We have another girl, a woman named Alana Kaivalia, who actually just this year won the Entrepalooza Marketer of the Year. I went to Santa Barbara and she won this award. And it was basically, she said in the speech, she was like, I have to thank Entreport, Easy Webinar, and Deadline Funnel.
Oh wow!
And these are the tools that I use in order to get where I needed to get. This is the woman I was talking about that did 10.5 after a couple months using her system, and then turned around and did $50,000. And I think this last month maybe she did 75 or more. And she's selling a yoga certification program.
So it works for everything. Yeah.
Yeah, whoever. Yeah. So Jody, the one before that, she ran a live webinar, did really well. Alana did an automated webinar. So she has a weekly automated webinar running every Wednesday at one time zone, and she has an awesome nurture sequence. So they register, and they may have like 5 days before the webinar, but she has a nurture sequence that where they get to know her. And so her conversions on the webinar, first she can get a ton of people there, but her conversions are through the roof. And so she's selling these $1,500 programs. And so a lot of people think evergreen, they think daily, right? They think a webinar that's running all the time daily, but there's opportunity to where you can have webinars running once a week that are pre-recorded, have good nurture sequence.
That actually brings me to an interesting question, because you probably have some access to some really, really interesting stats. With so many people running webinars through your platform, I'm curious, do you have any sort of data? And this is probably kind of putting you on the spot because it's probably not in front of you, but do you have any sort of data on what works as far as daily, just-in-time kind of webinars, live versus automated? What sort of stuff do you see from your back end, seeing all this data? What sort of stuff works the best?
Yeah, and so I can get some information from my guys and maybe like update you later on some of the things that we tend to see. But what we find is, and here's just some basic data. You know, when we do a just-in-time webinar or right-on-time webinar, we find that the registration is higher. We find that more people, though, come to a webinar when they it is scheduled out maybe by a day. That we find that a block by one day, let's say, you know, where they come to the registration page, they can't watch the webinar that day. They have it. They would have to watch it tomorrow. And what we've noticed is that three time slots really work really well. 10 a.m., 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Right. And so we find that that works. And then having a bit of having a thank you page video works really well. So doing a registration page that sometimes doesn't have a have a video, but having a thank you page that does have a video works really well. And then what we do notice is that our social share feature on our thank you page of EasyWebinar, you see about 10 to 15% additional viral traffic coming into the funnel because of that social share feature.
And that's a cool feature too, because I didn't know about that until I started digging around in EasyWebinar and saw, yeah, that you can incentivize people with like a cool bribe or whatever kind of gift to share it with their friends or their audience right after they opt in.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Mm. We can, and that's nice. So like you can say you on the thank you page, make a video saying, hey, thank you for coming to this webinar. Remind them what they're going to be, you know, what transformation will happen during the webinar. Hey, you'll be able to achieve X, Y, and Z when you come to this webinar. And right now I have a free gift for you, maybe a guide. What I oftentimes do is give them a guidebook, like a webinar workbook, which essentially can be the webinar slides, but with some pieces of the webinar slides taken out, such as, so they have to sort of fill in some stuff.
Ooh, yeah,
right?
That's smart. Yeah.
And so when they download it and they're like, oh man, I don't know what this answer is. I have to come to the webinar to make sure I get the answer. Right.
Yeah. No, that's really smart. So
it's a good way to get them there. Yeah,
it is.
I like that viral sharing traffic thing. That's cool. Now coming back to the sort of dates and times, you're saying that giving them three time slots, but not a right on time, seems to be the best. Right? That's kind of what you were implying there with what you were just saying.
Say it one more time.
So giving them three time slots throughout the day. I think you said like 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m., but not giving them the option to do one that starts in 15 minutes.
Well, we find that the registrations, you have more people registering for the right on time webinars,
right?
But you may not have as many people coming to the webinar itself.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we've seen similar results. We've seen basically we offer a just in time, but it's on the hour. It's not every 15 minutes like some people do. So the next one would be at 5 p.m. or 6 p.m. And we found that our opt-in rate is very high on those. Our show up rate is very high on those. But the drop-off rate is also very high. So people hang out for maybe 10 minutes and then don't stick around. When the webinar might be the next day, or for example, a live webinar like we did today, people stuck the whole time. I mean, we didn't see any drop-off until maybe 10 minutes into the pitch.
Right.
Right. Because you don't have as much. So with those live webinars, or you know, you're working up to the point of the live webinar, you have more time to nurture them. You know, it's in the calendar. Maybe they do a little research on you before coming to the webinar. But when you do a right on time or just in time, you know, they don't really know you as much. And you're creating enough nurture. And by doing so, you know, they might come to the webinar. If you can't hook them right away, then they're going to just drop off.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, cool. So we do want to talk about EasyWebinar a little bit. What we're kind of curious about, and I'm not sure how much you can share with us or how much you want to share with us, but we kind of have already touched on the main functionality of EasyWebinar. You can do live webinars, you can do automated webinars. There's viral sharing after people register. You know, you can do YouTube live stuff. You can embed videos and do hybrid webinars. I mean, it's got pretty much all the functionality anybody could ever need from a webinar platform. What we want to hear from you is what sort of stuff is in the roadmap that's in the pipeline that people might be excited about?
Sure. Yeah. That's a great question. So, you know, we've obviously changed, or, you know, adapted or, you know, like our platform has definitely changed in the last couple of years, and it's continuing to evolve. I wouldn't call it change; it's more of an evolution. Mm-hmm. So for us, we want to be the preemptive platform for both live and automated webinars. So, mm-hmm. and we also want to be the platform that allows people if they have both live webinars and automated webinars, if they use our system and have both, our system is probably has the deepest integration of the both of them together. So you can go from live to automated and back and forth with one webinar. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty powerful stuff. So what's on the horizon for us? What's on our roadmap? A couple of things. We're going to give a faster way for people to import past sessions of live webinars into automated webinars. Mm-hmm. So you're just going to be able to click import and it will import a session right in. Mm. We have on the roadmap Facebook Live, so that you'll be able to push our live engine right into Facebook Live.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And you'll be able to share your screen or you in front of the camera. And that's already been built, but we're tweaking and refining it. So we're still working on that. We're also talking about, because right now we do have the YouTube Live where you can use YouTube Live inside our system. But soon what we'd like to do is be able to push out our webinar into Facebook and YouTube at the same time. Mm-hmm. And we've already started with that capability. So that's kind of already been on the roadmap. So that's another couple things that we're adding as well. With our live stream application, our live engine, mm-hmm. We're looking at getting, because we already have an app for it, right? We have an iPhone and an Android app for that program. Ooh, we're also looking to get browser compatibility with Safari and Internet Explorer, and we've already started with Edge for that platform. Mm-hmm. With our YouTube Live engine, there's no browser issue. Like there's full browser compatibility across the board. Mm-hmm. But with RTC, WebRTC, which is what our live engine is built on, there are other programs as well as us have issues with Safari and Internet Explorer. But we are actively working on that right now to solve that problem. So,
very cool.
So we're pretty excited about that. But I think, based on what we are, we're the only platform that is fully, not the only platform, but the good news is that even though we have WebRTC, we are still fully compatible with all browsers because of our YouTube Live engine that we have.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, as far as pricing goes, you guys can't be beat. I mean, if you want to look at some of the other platforms that are out there, you're going to pay separate prices for having live and automated webinars, or you're going to buy two different tools completely.
Right.
As far as the functionality you provide at the price, I mean, there's pretty much no comparison, and Easy Webinar is just it's killer for that. And Joe and I actually do have bonuses, so if you do decide to get Easy Webinar because Casey sold you on it today, we do have mm-hmm. a really, really killer bonus package where we teach some of the strategies we use for webinars. We've got case studies and various traffic tactics and all sorts of cool stuff that's going to really get your webinars cranking fast. Mm-hmm. So, if you haven't already, make sure you go check out Easy Webinar. Our special link is actually grabeasywebinar.com. So make sure you check that out. And Casey, thank you so much for hanging out with us and sharing all this wisdom with us.
This was fun, man. I love talking about this stuff. This could have been a 4-hour long podcast. I'm glad we decided not to do it that way.
We had to reel you back.
Well, it's been a 2-hour call and an 1-hour long podcast.
That's right. Awesome, man. Well, we'll probably do a recap, in the future, or around 2, that is, and talk more webinars, because there's always more.
Yeah, and I mean, Casey's doing some great stuff with things like Periscope and other live streaming apps, and we didn't even touch on that today, so we'll have to save that for another call.
Let's do it. All right, we'll do it for another call. Okay.
Thank you.
Awesome, dude.
See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you for listening to this podcast. Now, if you want to learn more and hear from us every single month, which a lot of people do, it's pretty fun. We actually write this thing called the Evergreen Prophets Letter, and that is a printed newsletter that we actually send to hundreds of people every single month to your doorstep, so you actually get it in the mail. You can read this sucker, you can highlight it, you can dog ear, you can scratch some stuff out if you don't like that one. You say, no, Joe and Matt, that's not cool for me. But you can take a lot of different strategies, about 15 or so from every single issue, and it's really cool. So basically, these are actionable strategies that you can use in your business right away to test out and pretty much build on what you already have going on. So check it out. It's at www.egpletter.com. It's pretty amazing. And yeah, you should go check it out. See what it's all about.
Boom.